Don't you love it when he gives us instructions? It's a whole lot easier to figure something out when you have instructions. We make it hard when we don't have instructions. Amen. See, a lot of times we think we got it figured out. We think we know how to do it. We think we know how to make the thing work. You ever buy something like that? Then you have to go to the instructions. Then, oh, that's how you do it. Amen. Well, this is how you do it. And so he's going to give us some instructions on how we do this. Amen. Praise God. As I said, we aren't waiting on revival. Revival is waiting on us. Revival is not something that is in the distant future, but it's here now for all who will receive and who will yield themselves, the spirit of revival. So I'm yielded myself. I've decided that. You know, this past, two Sundays ago, January 17th, we experienced a turning point, didn't we? Yes. Amen. Yes. There is a turning point. Magnificent outpouring of the Holy Ghost in a very dramatic way. Amen. But that's just the beginning of what he wants to do. Praise God. We experienced a great breaking loose, didn't we? Amen. In the spirit realm. Sure did. And what we experienced 2 weeks ago is going to continue to build today. Amen. We're only going to grow in this. It's going to get stronger and stronger. Amen. We're going to go higher and higher and grow stronger and stronger in this. Greater manifestations and greater demonstrations of the Spirit are unfolding in our midst, and I'm excited about that. Amen. Now, the Lord instructed me this morning to go back and refer to this and read it again, what he gave us concerning this year. If you've got this in your Bible, you can pull it out. Our instructions, what he tailor-made for us this year. He said, in 2016, higher and higher you will go, and deeper you will grow. Only be resolved in your pursuit of my presence. Wow. Look at that. We're going to have to be resolved, aren't we? Amen. Pursuing his presence. Hunger for more of my word and thirst for more of my spirit. Hunger for transformation, and the result will be a divine confirmation. Hallelujah. Thank God for the word. But the Holy Spirit comes and he takes the word and he helps us apply it to our lives, and he is the one that helps transform us on the inside. There's so many things that we get caught up in a daily basis, and so many things we yield our lives over to, our temples, our bodies, the temples of the Holy Ghost. When we should allow the Holy Ghost to transform us into cleanness from the inside out. If your life is truly yielded to the Holy Ghost and he is transforming you, you're not going to have problems with addictions. Jared said. You won't have problems with addictions to alcohol. You're not going to have problems to smoking any type of weed, whether it be a tobacco weed or a marijuana type of a weed. Amen. Because you become addicted to him. And that takes the Holy Ghost and yielding to the Holy Ghost and allowing him to transform us from the inside out. Amen. He wants to clean us. To clean us up. Let's keep going here. He says, hunger for transformation, and the result will be a divine confirmation of both your souls and your bodies. Notice that. Amen. Your soul, your mind, will, and emotions? Yeah. And then the physical realm as well. When I become all that you desire, I will give you all that you require. Be revived in your heart. Be revived in your soul. And be revived in your body. It all begins with a holy decision. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Choose you this day whom you will seek. Choose and seek first the King of the kingdom, and the King himself will be all that you ever need. Yes, higher and higher and deeper, with a divine hunger and thirst, for I am the only one who can truly fill and satisfy your life. Isn't that powerful? You know, the Lord corrected me recently, and regarding this, because I had started to cave into the spiritual condition of our nation and cave into the spiritual condition of many in the church here and abroad. And I began to cave into this and begin to say things like, well, people just aren't hungry like they used to be. They just aren't hungry anymore. I said that. And I repent of that before the Lord. Because the Lord corrected me, because people are hungry. They've just been eating the wrong things.
That's right. Amen.
Distracted by the enemy. You're hungry.
Yes.
Oh, you're hungry. The people of God are hungry. The world is hungry. But you got to make sure that you eat the right diet. And that you're hungering and thirsting for the right things. And it's my job as pastor to help you get your focus. And to hunger after the things of God. And to cultivate your hunger for the things of the Spirit. So that you won't have any interest in that other. I do my part and you have to do your part by yielding. And listening and not letting the message go in one ear and out the other. But taking it home and living it. Every day. Amen?
Amen?
Praise God. Now, let's look over. We know this verse, but I want to look at it. Acts chapter 2. People are hungry all over the world. They're hungry on the mainland. There's demonstrations and manifestations of the revival even on the mainland. Different ministries that we encountered this past week. Tremendous. Tremendous. It's happening. It's here. We're not waiting on it. We aren't the only ones.
Amen.
There are many that are prophesying this move of God. Many that have already stepped over in the door, through the door into this move.
Amen?
Amen. Thankful for that. Amen?
Amen?
Pastor Webb, you know, we've talked about this for a long time, last few years, talking about the move of God and in Brazil, and talking about how the Holy Ghost is moving in Brazil, and how they're hungry in Brazil, and how things are happening there. And like, Lord, why is that? You know, you're no respecter of nations. Amen. And just begin to look at things and think about things, and hey, it's here. But God's people have been distracted. The enemy's come in to distract. The greatest nation on earth that was established for the sole purpose of propagating the gospel. Are you here? Amen.
Amen.
That was why the United States was founded in the first place. For the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And we've done it. We're going to continue to do it. And it's going to get stronger and stronger. There may be some sickly ones in our midst, but Jesus is the healer. And he is the restorer. Amen. So let's look here. Acts chapter 2, verse 17, it says from the New Living, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. In those days, I will pour out my spirit. Say, pour out.
Pour out.
In those days. And we're in those days. Amen. I will pour out my spirit and even on my servants, men and women alike. They will prophesy. In verse 19, I love this. The first part of it says, and I will cause wonders. See, when the Holy Ghost gets poured out, it causes people to wonder. Amen? Does. So then, revival is here. Actually, revival started when the Holy Ghost invaded the earth. 2,000 years ago, started baptizing and filling people with power. Filling them with the Spirit. Amen? The Holy Spirit, he is the spirit of revival. He's never left the planet. He's still here.
Amen.
Amen. People all over, like I said, are prophesying about this revival that's here. Talking about it. Prophesying about speaking about another great awakening that's hitting our nation. Amen. Awaken up. She's waking up again. Amen. The awakening is here. The awakening is here. I told you this about how Charles Finney, anybody remember that? How Charles Finney was used mightily of God, by the Lord in the 1800s to help spark revival in this world. Many times when we hear of revival, we very often think miracles, signs, wonders, and that it's just a sovereign move of God. And, you know, there's going to be miracles, signs, and wonders in a move of God. But Finney said, but more than revival being miraculous, he said it was a mindset change that involved man's free will. Amen. It was a mindset change that involved man's free will. In other words, you had to yield your will. Right? You had to change your will. See, your will matters. God created you to have a will. And he will never, ever violate your will. Amen? Even Jesus prayed that in the garden. He said, Lord, not my will. In other words, he must have had a different one. Right? But your will be done. Amen? So we have to learn how to yield our will to him. And we must will for revival. So let me ask you this morning. Are you willing? You need to ask yourself, am I willing? Now, it's easy to come to church when we're together in a setting like this and say, yeah, I'm willing. But the real test of when you're willing is when you wake up in the morning. And when you wake up Tuesday morning. And Wednesday night. And Thursday and Friday and Saturday. And then we'll start all up back over again. See, that's where the real test of you being willing. This is an individual responsibility that each of us have. Revival, it has to begin on the inside of you by you yielding your will, willing to be used of God, willing to surrender your life to God, willing to allow him to clean up your life and to purify your life, get all of these things out of there that need to get out of there. Amen? Now look over at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. If you want, or you can just listen to me this morning because I'm going to read this one out of the mirror. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And in verse 16, it says this, we have much reason to be brave. There might be a lot of wear and tear on the outside, but don't be distracted by that. On the inside, we are celebrating daily revival. Hallelujah. Amen. In other words, don't be distracted by everything that you may see on the outside, but know this, that on the inside, I am celebrating daily revival. I don't care what's going on in the world around me. I don't care what's happening in my family. That is subject to change because on the inside, I am celebrating daily revival. Amen. I don't care what my body looks like. I don't care what my body feels like. That is subject to change because on the inside, I am celebrating a continual revival. A revival is a restoration. Amen. So we need to learn how to celebrate that daily revival. He has come to revive us in our spirits. But we need to learn how to celebrate that revival daily. On a daily basis. You must celebrate revival. Today. Yeah. Tomorrow, which is Monday. You must celebrate it on Tuesday. You must celebrate it on Wednesday and Thursday, Friday, until we come back together Sunday. Celebrate it every single day. On the inside, I am celebrating this. When there is a celebration, there is a celebration. People are going to know if you're celebrating something. They know when we celebrate New Year's Eve, don't they? The whole island knows. Amen? Well, the whole island should know, too, when you are celebrating daily revival on the inside of you. There are things that should be affected on the outside. Let's keep reading here. Amen? Ben Campbell Johnson puts it this way. It's another paraphrase. He says, our spiritual power is renewed day after day. Our spiritual power is renewed day after day. It takes the Holy Ghost. It takes a yielded life. Amen? In other words, we're going higher and higher, growing stronger and stronger, deeper and deeper. Amen? So this morning, I want to talk to you about this. I want to talk to you about some keys to celebrating daily revival. Keys to celebrating daily revival. These are straight from the Holy Ghost. Revival is a mindset change. If your mind is set, on the right things, the miraculous will follow suit. You got to make sure you're tuned in, that your mind is set. Amen? Divine healing. It should become a daily occurrence. It is a daily occurrence in the life of those that celebrate daily revival. Divine healing, not just for your life, but in those that you encounter. Amen? The power of God will be something that we encounter daily, not just on Sundays. Right? In days gone by, the outpourings of the Holy Ghost, they weren't just on Sundays. They were celebrated 7 days a week, and in some occurrences, 24 hours a day. Can you imagine the doors of Faith Family Maui being open 7 days a week, and not just in the evenings at 7 p.m. or something like that, but I mean open 24 hours where we are here, somebody is here, a song is being sung, prayer is being offered up, people are getting healed, the Holy Ghost is moving 24 hours a day because we are celebrating daily revival. We're moving back into those times. Don't sound so excited about it. But the Holy Ghost is moving us back into those times. You go back and you look at some of the previous outpourings of the Holy Ghost where people yielded themselves to the Holy Ghost. You look at Azusa Street. Amen. And you look at how healing and how all of these things transpired on a continual daily basis. They were celebrating daily revival. The Shekinah glory of God present in operation and manifestation. So many of today's, denominations, I don't know whether that's a good thing or not, but they came out of that move of God. The Assemblies of God started out of that. Amen? Amen? And these are things that went on continually, 24 hours a day, day after day after day. Some of these revivals, they ended, but I believe that it is the will of God that these revivals not end, but that they continue until Jesus comes back. Amen. See, man gets in the way. Are you here? I was reading about another one. Anybody ever heard of Catherine Kuhlman? In her early years, back when she was 24 years of age, when she was just getting started more or less in the ministry and the Lord began to use her, she got hooked up with a man. His name was Burroughs Waltrip. And long story short, they started this revival meeting in Mason City, I believe it was, Mason City, Iowa. And in this revival meeting, the Holy Ghost was moving mightily. People were getting saved. People were getting born again. The Holy Ghost was in manifestation. People were getting healed. All kinds of things happening, right? Drunks getting cleaned out. People that, you know, were addicted to things like that, getting set free. Amen. And so, you know, this revival, this move just kept continuing and building and building and building, and people began to get saved, and they began to endorse it publicly. The city did. And it was magnificent what was happening there. And before you know it, this all occurred within a 23-month period of time. Before you know it, the Lord laid it on their hearts, we're going to build Radio Chapel. Radio Chapel, you know, they were meeting under this old brown tent. And it wasn't big enough, you know, dirt and all of this type stuff. And Iowa, can you imagine what it's like in the wintertime, right? Summertime just as hot, right? And so we're going to build Radio Chapel. So they built Radio Chapel. And they got it built, and it's amazing, you know, everything that went involved in that. And during the course of this time, you know, they're taking, you know, people were donating money to the ministry and giving money to the ministry. In the meantime, you know, they're having thousands of people show up every single day. Every day. And services could be going on all the day long. Now, Coleman wasn't preaching every service, and Burroughs wasn't preaching every service. They had other ones. Friday was Youth Day, for instance. And they had other different things happening during the week. But it was a continual revival. And during the course of all of this, there was a gentleman there that had donated, I think it was $1,700, and one offering that he had given towards the building, you know, paying off the debts of this place and helping this thing get constructed. And he had donated $1,700. This is amazing to me. This was the very first church building that was built, Radio Chapel. The very first church building that was built. so modernized. Now, this was in the 1930s. They had a pulpit that would disappear into the floor when you push a button. They had a choir pit. This elevated platform that the choir would get on down underneath, and then as the service would start, they would come up on this platform. The back was, you know, painted this dark color, and they had lights on it to make it look like stars. The acoustics in this place, they were second to none. This was the very, very first mega church that was built, so to speak. Modern mega church back in 1930s. Well, that's a trip. No other church had ever been built like that. None. And so then, of course, you know, this costs money. So, you know, they're raising money, you know, to pay for this facility. And so there's this gentleman in the church. He gave $1,700 towards the building of the church. And some of his family didn't like it, unsaved, didn't like it. Well, what are you doing with your money? Why are you giving your money to the church? And they got possessive. I don't know if it was because it was part of their inheritance or what it was, but they didn't like it. You can't be giving our money away. So they went before a judge who they were in cahoots with, right? And they talked the judge into declaring this man mentally unstable. Thus taking away the control of his finances. Can't give them to the church anymore. And then they filed a lawsuit against the church. That the pastors, Catherine Coleman, Burroughs Waltrip, that they were taking money from the people and they were putting it in their pockets. Began to spread all of these lies and all of these rumors and all of these accusations about the pastors. Sound familiar? Nothing new today. Same thing, same devil, same spirit, nothing new. So then it began to snowball from there. They sued the church for $1,700. Well, you're talking about the 1930s. They didn't have $1,700. Then some other fees and some other things put on it, and it was just over $2,000. So then they gave the church deadlines. They gave the pastors deadlines. Well, you got to have it paid by such and such time, or, you know, we're going to repossess the church. We got to lean on the church. And so they began to extend it. Well, if you make a $500 payment or, you know, a $100 payment here, and then they begin to do a little bit of that, and they just kept dragging it out. But in the meantime, all of the ones that began to talk about the church, began to talk about the pastors, began to sling mud at the pastors and begin to, you know, just dream up all of these things. Well, they're full of themselves, and, you know, they're so prideful, this and that, and all of these types of things that they say. They still, you know, nothing new today. Same thing. Amen? And people began to listen to it. And so then the church, a church service with 1,000 people, began to dwindle down to 700, and 500, and 300. And finally, they just couldn't do anything about it because of what people did. Mean-spirited people did. So then that revival, that move of God, it was shut down. And they had to leave town. Then the city repossessed that place, Radio Chapel, and turned it into something else. That was over 70 years ago. How many moves of God get started? And how many things that the Lord starts doing and starts moving? But then that spirit gets stirred up in people. But if we would keep our hearts yielded and surrendered to Him, amen. And you just worry about keeping your own nose clean and don't look at everybody else. Well, they shouldn't say this and they shouldn't have done that. You know what? He shouldn't have even preached that message. Yes. Same thing that happened 70 years ago. Nothing different. Keep your big, dirty mouth shut. Let the purifying fire of the Holy Ghost transform your life. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And you begin to celebrate daily revival in you. And you let God sort out the details. If something's wrong, you'll see the fruit of it.
Yes.
You don't have to be concerned about it. 20 years, February the 9th, will be since we've been here. And I'm still here.
Amen.
Had a lot of crap said about us through the years. We're still here. Had a lot of people come and go and say dirty things and blast us all over social media and everything else. We're still here. Amen. So if you haven't got a clue yet, I'm still here, gonna be here. We ain't going anywhere. Amen. Because on the inside, I am celebrating daily revival. Believing for a mighty move of God in a mightier way than this island has ever seen. Where your families get saved and born again. We clean out the crack houses. We clean out Maui Memorial Hospital. You walk through the halls of Maui Memorial and just the anointing of God so strong on you, people begin to jump up out of their beds and you didn't even say or do anything. Is that possible? Oh, it's possible. Matters what you believe. It's a mindset change. Amen? Ask Peter. He knows it's possible. Are you with me? So, one of the trademarks of a mighty move of God is that churches then were open 7 days a week. I'm looking forward to that day. Amen? Looking forward to that day. Right now, we're just celebrating daily revival, so to speak, on Sundays and Wednesdays. But there's going to come a day. I believe that. There's going to come a day. It doesn't mean that I'm going to be in the pulpit every single service, but the Holy Ghost will. Amen? So key number one to celebrating daily revival is this. Number one, change your thinking. Change your thinking. Say it with me. I'm going to change my thinking. Amen. Say it like you mean it. I'm going to change my thinking. Now let's look at this. Matthew 4:17. See, we're not in a hurry, are we? Because we're celebrating daily revival. You'll get food sometime today. Matthew chapter 4. Right now we're enjoying some spiritual food. Like the early church. Matthew 4 verse 17. It says this from the New Living. From then on Jesus began to preach. Repent of your sins and turn to God. For the kingdom of heaven is near. Amen? The kingdom of heaven is near. The Passion says, keep turning away from your sins and come back to God, for heaven's reigning kingdom is now accessible. Heaven's reigning kingdom is now accessible. In other words, if you will just repent, if you will change your course, if you will change your direction, if you will change your mind, the way that you're headed, and turn around, you will begin to see that the kingdom of heaven is right here at hand. It's within your reach. It's within your grasp. It's right there in front of you. Amen. But the key here is to repent. Amen. Yes, get saved. Yes, get born again. But repent in your thinking. Change your thinking. Turn around. The same grace that you would like to be extended towards you, how about you extend that same grace toward others? Change your thinking. Amen. Well, I just don't like them. Well, maybe you need them. The reason why you don't like them is because you need them. Well, they just rub me the wrong way. Well, maybe you need to turn around. Anybody ever have anybody like that in your life? Amen. Glory to God. Maybe you're the problem. Oh, no, I'm not that problem. They're the problem. Yeah, right. You need to repent. You're thinking of yourself more highly than you ought to think. Amen. And another one says, Ben Campbell Johnson says, from that time Jesus was in prison. John was in prison. Jesus began his ministry saying to all the people, change your attitude and actions. Because an invasion of the Spirit is imminent. Change your attitude and actions. Because an invasion of the Spirit is imminent. I like that one, don't you? Amen. So then when you repent, change your course, and turn around, when you change your thinking, you will find that the kingdom of heaven is right there in front of you. It's always been there. You were just looking in the wrong place. Your thinking was wrong. Your thinking was wrong. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Glory to God. Colossians chapter 3, in verse 1, it says this: since you have been raised to a new life with Christ, boy, what a concept here, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven. Amen? Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth, for you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. Mirror Bible says it this way: you are in fact raised together with Christ. Now ponder with persuasion the consequence. Listen to this. Ponder with persuasion the consequence of your co-inclusion in Him. Relocate yourselves mentally. We need a mental relocation. Relocate yourselves mentally. Engage your thoughts with throne room realities where you are co-seated with Christ in the executive, I love this, authority of God's right hand. Amen? Amen? So you got to relocate yourself mentally. You got to change your thinking. You got to think differently than how you've been thinking. If you're going to celebrate daily revival, you're going to have to change your thinking. Today. Tomorrow. The next day. It's a process, right? Amen? Verse 2 says, become affectionately acquainted with throne room realities and keep you from being distracted again by the earthly soul-ruled realm. Now the Passion says, yes, feast on all the treasures of the heavenly realm and fill your thoughts with heavenly reality and not with the distractions of the natural realm. The devil comes to distract you from the things of God. He comes to distract you from the heavenly realm. He comes to distract you from revival. Wow. Did you hear that? He comes to distract you from revival. Our perspective must change. Because we've been looking at the wrong things. Amen. We've been listening to the lies of the devil and being distracted by all the bling that the devil brings in this life. Got to change our view. Amen. Change our view. Key number 2. Come up here, Robin. Help me out. Aren't you glad we're partners in this? Come on up here. My voice is strong. Key number 2 to celebrating daily revival, change your view. Ephesians chapter 2. Turn and look at that.
Amen. Ephesians chapter 2.
And as you're turning there, far too many of us, we live our lives from earth to heaven instead of living from heaven to earth. Amen? We view the things of heaven from the earth. Instead of viewing the things of earth from heaven, we got to change our view. Because you are co-seated.
Yes.
With Him. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
Praise God.
Amen.
Read that one.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And so we know this. It's time that we stop struggling. Amen? In a dead, dry relationship with the Lord. Doesn't that sound fun? No. No, it doesn't, does it? If our relationship is dead or dry with the Lord, guess what? Someone's not quite doing it right, and I guarantee it's not the Lord.
Yep.
It's probably us, right? Yeah, amen. Because our position really is this. We're seated with Him, and I love something that you said. You know, our outlook on life, the way I would take it and say, our outlook on life really depends on our position in life. Mm-hmm. And where you see yourself. Isn't that right? If we see ourselves seated in Him, then just like we read in Psalms, then our view, we're going to be looking down on our enemies. But if we don't see ourselves in Him, we're looking eye to eye. And the Bible tells us the enemy is where? Under our feet, right? So that means our view, we ought not to be looking eye to eye with him. If that's the case, then he's been allowed a place in our life that we're not. No, we let him rise up somehow. Amen. And so because his position is lower, ours is to be higher. Ephesians 2, starting with verse 1, and I'll read this to you out of the New Living Translation first, and you've got 1 through 10. Ephesians 2 says, "Once you were dead, became of your disobedience and your many sins, you used to live in sin." Say used to. That was what we used to do. "Just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers in the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God." Now that's a revelation. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. You know, we have to remember something as believers, especially in this day and age, that we have to remember who our enemy is and who we're dealing with. And when we really remember that, we take the pressure off of people. And when people don't do what's right or what we think they ought to do or what the Word says they ought to do, we have to remember, okay, this is bigger than the person. The issue is the spirit at work in the person. The spirit at work. Amen. Because the Bible just told us, and this was an answer for somebody, the devil is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. So whenever there's a refusal in your life or in anyone else's life to obey God and to obey his word, we know this. It's more than just, well, I'm just exercising my right to choose. It's my life. Well, Dad, that's what you're saying, but there's a spirit force at work behind. Absolutely. Verse 3, all of us need to live that way, following the passionate desires, all of us used to live that way. We used to, following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature. So in other words, he's saying, hey, remember, there was a time when you did the exact same thing. And so the thing that we get so angry at sometimes in others, stop and remember, there was once a time when you did something, the exact same thing. He said, we all used to live that way. By our very nature, we were subject to God's anger just like everyone else. But, thank God. Thank God for the but. Yes, I love it whenever you see the word but. It means something better's coming. But God is so rich in mercy. Hallelujah. How many of you are testifying a testament of that today? Amen. We're here because God is so rich in mercy. Amen. And so we want to remember that same mercy that God has bestowed on us, we want that for other people. Amen. Amen. If you find yourself feeling in your prayers, you know, wanting to pray, God, get them. No, something's wrong. You want mercy for them. Because the same mercy that was bestowed upon you, we want that for others. Because guess what? You might need more mercy. Tomorrow's another day.
Yeah.
Amen. But God, who is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It is only, say only. It is only by God's grace, say grace, that you have been saved. We must remember that. Amen. We don't ever get far away from that. It is only by God's grace that we have been saved. It is only by God's grace that we have been saved, for he has raised us. Here we go. We're finding out where our position in life is. We're no longer way down here. Why? Because he has raised us up. Amen. He's raised us from the dead along with Christ.
Hallelujah.
And seated us with him.
Hallelujah.
Amen. And this takes a renewing of our mind. This takes a repentance of an old way of thinking.
Yes.
Because sometimes you get up on a Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday, and guess what? You don't feel like you're seated in heavenly places with Christ. No, and your thoughts may not be very heavenly. heavily.
So you got to celebrate daily revival.
That's right. And you have to remind yourself, hey, self.
Stir it up.
What's my position? How do I approach this situation? How am I approaching this day? Oh, that's right. I'm seated. I'm going to approach it from my position in Christ. Amen. Seated with Christ in heavenly places, in heavenly realms, because we are united with Christ Jesus. So God can point to us
Hallelujah.
In all the future ages as examples.
He wants to make an example out of you.
Isn't that amazing?
He has made an example out of you.
He saved you so he could set you on high like a city on a hill. Amen? And make a shining example. He wants to be able to point at you through all the ages and say, see, live like this one. Because he's in me and I'm in him.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
God must think big thoughts about us.
He does.
He thinks big thoughts about us, doesn't he? He really does.
You need to think bigger about yourself.
Amen. And if he thinks
that. The Bible doesn't say this. Now think about this. The Bible says don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. But you do need to think of yourself highly.
That's right.
And if you don't think of yourself highly, then something's wrong with you.
That's right.
Are you here? You're not a worm. You're not the off-scouring of the earth. You're not the old sinner saved by grace. No, you were once an old sinner, and you have been saved by grace. Amen?
Yeah.
Jesus thought high of you before you ever thought high of yourself. Now he wants you to think high of yourself.
That's right. Absolutely. Absolutely. So he can point to us in all future ages of examples of the incredible wealth of his grace. Our life needs to scream of the incredible wealth of God's grace.
Yeah.
Amen. He says, and the grace and kindness towards us as shown in all he has done for us who are united with Christ Jesus. God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It's a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done. So none of us can boast about it. Verse 10, for we are, say we are.
We are.
Look at your neighbor and say you are.
You are.
Point to yourself and say I am.
Yes.
For we are God's masterpiece.
Yes.
Amen. It doesn't matter what you've been told in life. If it went contrary to this, it was a lie. You are God's masterpiece.
Yes.
Amen. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus. Why? Why did he do all this? So we can do.
Yeah.
Amen. So we can do something. What can we do? So we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. That is amazing.
That is amazing.
Amen. Amen. And now you read it out of the mirror.
No, you read the mirror. You
read it out of the mirror. Okay. Says, scoot on over, buddy. out of the mirror translation, Ephesians 2, 1 through 6, just go ahead and listen. It says, picture where God found us, all right?
Yeah.
Some of you immediately have a picture in your mind.
Where did he find you?
Where did he find you? Picture where God found us. We were in a death trap of an inferior lifestyle. Constantly living below the blueprint measure of our lives. Wow. We were all part of a common pattern, swept along under a powerful, invisible influence. That's that spirit of the world at work, causing those to disobey God. It's a powerful, invisible influence, but it's not greater.
No.
It's not greater.
No.
No. Says a spirit energy that adopted us as sons to its dictate through unbelief. Throughout that time, every one of us were warped and corrupted in our conduct, snared in a jumble of forbidden lusts, driven by the desires of the senses, totally engaged in an expression of a life ruled by mind games.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's a whole message right
there's
there.
There's a whole message in that. Yeah. It says, it was as if a twisted passion parented a universal breed of people. None of this could distract. Here we go. There's that but. None of this could distract from the extravagant love of God.
Yeah.
My goodness. When you have those ones in your life that you love more than life itself, and it seems like they are just doing everything but the right thing, don't let that distract from the extravagant love of God. Amen. Choose to see them the way God sees them.
Look at what he said next.
He says, none of this could distract from the extravagant love of God. He continued to love us with the exact same intensity.
That's powerful.
He continued. He continued.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise
God. You know, the God kind of love doesn't have an off switch. Amen. Now, people will make choices and they'll do what they're going to do. But as for you, but as for you, you just keep loving with that same love. Amen. Oh, that is so powerful. With that same intensity, this is how grace rescued us. Sin left us dead towards God, like spiritual corpses. Yet in that state of deadness and indifference, God co-quickened us together with Christ.
Hallelujah. Co-quickened.
At the same moment
that
he quickened Jesus Christ, that was when you and I were quickened. Now, it may have taken all of these years for it to be manifested, but the work was done.
Yeah.
Amen.
And what was all of those years? Well, when you were born, it had to be a mindset change.
Yes.
You had to realize it.
Absolutely. He never gave up on us. Praise God. And we don't give up on people. It says, this is how grace rescued us. Sin left us dead towards God like spiritual corpses. Yet in that state of deadness and indifference, God co-quickened us together with Christ. Sin proved how dead we were. The law confirmed it. But grace reveals how alive we now are. And the gospel announces it. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Before anyone but God believed it. Think about that. There was a time when only God believed
you would do
good.
Yeah.
And be good. There was a time when God was the only one who believed. You know, everybody needs somebody to believe in them.
Everybody.
Everybody. No matter who they are, everybody needs somebody. And that's when you hear the argument, what about all the times I've put my belief and faith and hope and trust, and it always just comes back to bite me in the butt. It always just comes back. It seems like it always just, listen, who are we doing this for?
Watch your words, number one.
Watch your words. That's a good thing. Amen. Absolutely. He says there was a time when only God, but before anyone but God believed it, he made us alive together with him and raised us up together with him.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Amen. Verse 6 says this, as much as we were co-included in his death, we are co-included in his resurrection.
Yes.
We are also elevated in his ascension to be equally present in the throne room of the heavenly realm, where we are co-seated with him in his executive authority. Do you have a mirror Bible? If you do, go home. I know a lot of you do. Go home and look at this. Read this out of your mirror Bible. That's amazing. Let me read it again. We are also elevated in his ascension to be equally present in the throne room. Just as much as Jesus is present in the throne room today, you are present there with him.
Praise.
In Christ, in the Spirit, by faith. Amen. Where we are co-seated with him in his executive authority, we are fully represented in Christ Jesus.
Praise
Not halfway,
Praise
but fully
God.
Represented in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
So this brings us to key number 3 to celebrating daily revival. Exercise your God-given authority over sin, all sickness and disease, all financial poverty and lack, and fear.
Yeah. Amen.
You have to exercise your authority.
Absolutely. Amen. Authority is given to be exercised. Amen. It's not given just to set it on a shelf and go, oh, look what Jesus did.
He's given us authority.
He gave us authority. That's so great. Aw, Jesus, you're so good. Thank you. No! Exercise your authority.
Bless God. Amen. Take authority over him.
And you know what? Every day, life will provide you with opportunities to exercise your authority. Because here's the thing. If you're not exercising your authority over it, it is exercising its authority over you.
Yep.
Amen. Somebody's going to be exercising authority. It's either going to be the world or it's going to be you. And it's going to be us.
It's either going to be disease or you're going to exercise authority over disease. It's either going to be financial lack or you're going to exercise authority over financial lack.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Are you here? Yes. Amen. God never created you to be poor on any level.
No.
Need to have a revival in your finances.
Amen.
Be revived in your finances.
Yes, we are.
Amen. Because finances have a purpose attached to it.
That's right.
And that's the kingdom of God.
Absolutely.
Amen.
Amen.
Read that one, Luke 10:19. This is pretty cool. I like this. I get used to this.
I'll give you the bill later.
I tried to get her to do this several times, but yeah, I always get the bill, don't I?
Absolutely, of course. It's your good pleasure. It's why you're here on earth. Luke 10, verse 19. All right, let's see. Oh, I'm in the wrong. No, here we go. Luke 10, verse 19 says, look. All right, so we need to perk up. He's wanting us to look at something. And these are written in red. It says, look,
Jesus said this.
I have given you authority. I have given you, not I'm gonna give. I have given you authority over all, say all.
A-L-L, all.
Over all the power of the enemy. And you can, not you will one day, but you can right now because faith is always
at
now.
This moment.
You can. Walk among snakes and scorpions, or we can say circumstances and situations. Amen. We can walk among snake and scorpions and crush them. Nothing will injure you. Nothing. No thing. I love the translation that says, and nothing will by any means hurt you. No thing. Amen. One of the reasons why that we fail to walk in the love of God, walk in our authority of love. Love is an authority. And one of the reasons why we fail to walk in that is because we're so afraid of being hurt.
Yeah.
We fear the hurt that might come because we've too many times placed our hope in people. Bottom line, people are going to disappoint. God never will. But it's the Holy Ghost that puts the love of God on the inside of you so that you can love others with that love. Supernatural, real, true, unconditional love. And we need to start exercising our faith and stop expecting the worst and start saying, and no thing shall by any means hurt me. Whatever they do with the love I exercise, nothing shall by any means hurt me. Why? Because I'm not looking to them for my reward. It's his love anyway, right? It's not even my love. It's his love in me, in you. Praise God. Amen. So nothing will injure you. You got to verse 19 or 20?
Just 19.
Verse 19.
You finished?
I'm done.
All right.
Okay.
So in other words, we have to live our earthly life from the position of authority that we have in heaven. You are to live your life, your earthly life, from your position of authority that you have in heaven. Your spiritual or heavenly authority is of no value unless you exercise it.
Amen?
Amen? This is how we celebrate daily revival, by exercising our authority.
Yes.
You'll never have daily revival without exercising your authority. And the reason why so many Christians are lollygagging around and so indifferent about the things of God is because they aren't even exercising their authority. They think that they know it, and they've heard this message, and they've heard that message, and they've read this book, and they've listened to that preacher. Are you here?
Amen.
Huh? And the devil's lulled them asleep.
Yeah.
But not for you. Amen?
Amen. Not for
not
us.
For you.
Yeah.
Amen. The exercising of your spiritual authority is not just important for your life and family, but it's important to reaching the rest of the world for Jesus as well. We're not going to reach the rest of the world for Jesus unless you are exercising your authority.
Absolutely. You know, it's kind of like this. You know, thinking about doing something and doing it are actually two different things.
They are two different things.
Right? You know, we think about going to the gym quite often. I think about exercising quite often. But how many of you know thinking about it and actually doing it are two completely different things? Don't you wish
you
that the benefits came from the thinking about it?
Yeah.
No, the benefit only comes from the doing it, and it's just like that with your authority. Thinking about taking authority, thinking about one day rising up in a greater relationship with God, thinking about one day, well, that and doing it is two whole different things, but the benefit comes in the doing. Amen. It comes in the
doing. The vision that the Lord has given us here at Faith Family Maui is to reach, disciple, and send. How many times have I told you that? To reach, disciple, and send. But we'll never be able to fulfill this vision without the exercising of our spiritual authority over devilish circumstances.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
I believe you're going to do it with me.
Amen.
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 It's not just Wayne and Robin. No, it's all of us. We are a faith family.
Absolutely.
Amen. We stick together.
Yes.
We may be the predominant voice that you see and hear and you know, most of the time, but it's all of us working together. It's out there where we can make a bigger difference.
Yeah.
Thank God for in here. Amen?
Yeah, sure.
But out there, it's very, very important. 1 John chapter 4, turn there.
1 John chapter 4, verse 17.
1 John chapter 4, verse 17. I'm going to read this to you out of the New King James, because I like the way the New King James happens to put it. In this instance, it says, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness. Everybody say boldness.
Boldness.
That we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. How many have you ridden my, is that a word, ridden? Read.
How many of you read the book?
Anybody read my book on as he is, so are we in this world? Seen so many people healed from reading that book. Amen. So many people healed from reading that book. One man was given up to die, left on his deathbed. And this book happened to make it into his hands somehow, some way or another, in the middle of a jungle in Fiji.
Yeah.
How weird is that? So much infection in his body, been given up to die, couldn't walk, couldn't do anything. Got a hold of that book, read it there. Came up off that deathbed. Now he's in every meeting.
Yeah.
Leaping, jumping, praising God, serving God.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Yeah.
Well, you're just talking about, I'm not talking about myself. Please, somebody needs to slap you. I'm talking about, are you here?
Yes.
Talking about the Word.
Yes, it's the Word that does the work.
It is.
The Spirit of God, yes.
Amen?
Amen.
If you're that shallow. Love has been perfected among us in this. Been matured, perfected,
yes.
Come to
grown
maturity.
Up. Yes.
Grows up in us.
Yes.
On the inside. Are you here?
Yes.
Amen? That we may have boldness when? In the day of judgment. That's a whole other message. Let's keep going here. Because as he is, so are we in this world. So then it's important when we read this verse that we view this from heaven's perspective and not an earthly one. When you read this verse, read it from heaven's perspective. A present day perspective. Can you say present day?
Present day.
Not the past. Amen. Or not even future. But present day. It's as he is.
Yeah.
Not as he was. Think about that. It's as he is right now at this moment.
Yeah.
Not as he was. As he is, so are we in this world. It's not even as he was when he was on the earth.
Yeah.
when he cleansed the leper and raised the dead. And all of these many miraculous things were done through him. It's not even that. And that was wonderful and that was great. But that's as he was. Are you here? But today it is as he is. And this is why we can now do the greater works. And as he is right now at this very moment, he is seated in the heavenly places and we have been co-seated there with him, far above everything else that's going on in this world. As he is, so are we in this world. Amen. At this very moment, he's not up there wringing his hands in despair. What are we going to do now? It seems like, you know, people just don't care about me today like they used to. See, I was guilty of falling into that because I was looking at things from the wrong perspective. But I changed my view. Yeah. Amen? No. People want me. People are hungry for me. I'm going to love them today with the same intense love that I've always loved them with. People are coming to me by the thousands and thousands and hundreds of thousands and millions all over the world. Amen? Jesus, today. Today. Yesterday, today, forever, he is the same. Amen. Amen. And I believe this. I mean, I thank God for it. It's cool that he's doing it. It's wonderful. It's great. He's appearing to so many different people, especially over in the Middle East. So many of the different ones that are caught up in false religions, such as Muslims, being Muslims and things like that, and appearing to them. And stopping them in their tracks as they're on their way to join some, you know, crazy group, a radical group, a terrorist group, and them bowing their knee and making him Lord. Jesus is doing that. Isn't that wonderful? That's great. Amen. That means if he's doing it, then we need to be doing it too. He will shine, he will radiate his glory, his anointing in and through you if you'll allow him to. Amen? Amen. Give an altar call.
Amen. Isn't Jesus wonderful? Amen. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for your word today. Father, we're so grateful. Everything that you say to us, Lord, your words are spirit and your words are life. They only bring life. Even if they come to correct or change or rearrange things in us, they bring life. And we thank you for that today. Thank you, Lord. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus, you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, you need to do that today. We want you to do that today. Amen. Jesus is available. He's not just kept on reserve for one or two or few, but Jesus is available. And so if you're here today and you've not made Jesus the Lord of your life, just lift your hands right where you're at, if there's anyone. All right, that means that everyone in this room is born again. Praise God. That's a good thing. It is a good thing. Amen. Amen. And if you're here today and you say, you know what, Jesus is the Lord of my life, but I'm not filled with the Holy Ghost. I don't speak in other tongues. I don't seem to have that you're talking about. If there's anyone that's not filled with the Holy Ghost, you need to be. You need to be. It's for you. The power of the Holy Spirit at work on the inside of you. Is there anybody? We want to just make sure that everyone is walking in the full amount of power that's available to you today. Okay, praise God. That means then that we're all filled with the Holy Spirit and the evidence of speaking in tongues, and we don't want to leave this out. If you're here today and you need healing in your body for anything whatsoever, nothing too big, nothing too small for the healing anointing, if you need healing, would you lift your hands right where you're at, no matter what it is? All right. There's several hands. Hallelujah. All right, if you've lifted your hand, would you, if you don't mind, just come down up to the front, and we just want to lay hands
Adam,
on you. We want to pray with you.
Quickly.
Amen. Come on down to the front. Praise God. One of the many ways that healing is imparted in the Bible, it's through the laying on of hands.
Yes.
Yes, absolutely. And our job as believers, if you're not the one that's walking up here, then you're not off the hook. Your job where you sit now is to pray in the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
And exercise faith for these, because this is your family. Amen. And if one hurts, we all hurt. So we want the whole body to be well. Amen. Amen. Father, we thank you. Thank you, Father, for the healing anointing at work. Jesus is the healer. Hallelujah. Jesus, we magnify you this morning. We set our eyes on you this morning. We take them off the symptom. We take them off the pain. We take our eyes off the diagnosis. We take our eyes off how we feel. And we set them on you today. You are the healer. Oh, thank you, Father.
Thank you, Master.
Praise you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah.
In Jesus' name, may the healing anointing of God go into this body. Be healed, be set free. Be revived, spirit, soul, and body. To serve God in the capacity that you were created to serve Him in. Come on up. Come on up and come on in. Come on up and come on in. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name.
Every part, from the inside out, hombre de la masa.
Be healed, spirit, soul, and body.
Soul, mind, emotions, mambre de la masa, in your very heart. Mashe que le mambre de la masa. Healing flows through you, in Jesus' name.
Yes.
Mando le masa que le masa. Doing only what Jesus can do.
Jesus. Mande le masa
doce que le masa. Yes. Restoring. Renewing.
The one who put Mande death in its place.
Yes. Mashe que le mambra doce. Be healed. Mando le masa que le masa. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Shelemanda doce que le masa. Healing. Roba doce que le manda. In the name of Jesus. Throughout this body. In the name of Jesus.
The healing power of God.
Healing power.
Healing power. Seramante. Be healed today in Jesus' name. Be healed today.
Every part.
He's a healing
greater,
Jesus.
Greater.
He's a healing Jesus.
Healing belongs to you. Mashe ke le masa. In the name of Jesus. Sobre deshe ke le masa. Mandorobose keshe. In the name. Braste le masa. Rombo koshe.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father.
Healed.
Thank you, Father.
Healed. Oh, rebate que le masa doce que. In the name of Jesus. Rombo doce que le masa le mapra. Oh, raste que le masa doce. In the name of Jesus. Mambro doce que le masa.
He's a healing Jesus.
Reba doce que le manda. Ebra doce le mambra deshe que le masa.
Thank you, Father.
Yes, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Jesus.
Gone. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Be healed in this body.
Healed and whole. Brande le manda. Hallelujah.
Gone forever.
Thank you, Lord.
Gone forever. In the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah. just worship him. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Worship you. Worship you, Lord Jesus.
Healing. Healing. He's a healing Jesus. He's a healing Jesus. He's the restorer. He's the heart mender. Be healed today. Be healed today. Thank you, Father. He's so gracious. He's so good. Have a group hug, pastor hug. This is a dead sandwich. We love you. We stand together. Hallelujah. Your youth is renewed. He's a healing Jesus. Okay, when are they supposed to do it?
Oh, no, I just waited.
Okay.
Maybe 1 month from now.
He's going to have knee replacement. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, we lay hands on these knees.
Basa na ne mine si bitele kule Kristo sabayaste kiniti si boha mongre si na nosa no nosa ne kile ma nasa nasa bataya ye kusomata glory
hallelujah
thank you Lord in Jesus
praise God.
Jesus'
yes,
name.
We agree with all the Spirit of God has said.
We seal it. Yes, we seal it in the Spirit. By the anointing. Glory to God. Thank you.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Stay right here, Pop. If there's anybody that, there's such a healing anointing. If you struggle with your knees, if you have anything going on with your knees and your legs, there's a healing anointing upon Dad to minister to you. If you struggle in any way, don't live with it. Whether it's arthritis, if you say, well, it's just not working right. You struggle in some way, you don't have to struggle anymore. Amen. Let him lay hands on you today and the healing anointing flows. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. When he lays hands on you,
be healed. Glory to God. Shimalata sata. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Teshimanana. Shidimanana. Silenina. Katotoso. Ramada.
Praise God.
Hotelema seto ke heste bohota. Glory to God. Arthritis, you have to leave. Arthritis, you have to go. In the name of Jesus. Cartilage being restored. Glory to God in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Now, Lord, you just begin to do what you could not do.
That's what faith does.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Absolutely. Glory to God. Glory to God. That's the anointing at work. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Bele King Grishuno ma Masikibo Masakibo Masakibo Asa Bendete Ikisoho Mola Kota Bashikiris Tobona Nekistima Nasida Bakarane Ikarane Sibonini Ikibusoho Rinde Bashata
in the name of Jesus.
In the name. In the name. Hey, Shimada Katasabata. Now you
begin to do what was hard to do. Oh, the anointing at work. The anointing at work.
Let him work.
Glory to God. Mashekele Masa. Rebondosheke. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Hiroto Sheki Basa. Metistiku Hulia Tahima. Mele Koshibrita Sata. Not only to the knees. Oh, but to the veins, pain goshamaha, bo pasinita, esikimosta, brasamanda ite, bokashite, elemanda la bosaha. Pain going now in Jesus'
name.
Arthritis leaving. Oh, Shamata Bahoya. Alamata Sinde. Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. Aha. Take it. Tisti Brisomo. Bande Hele Kushikia Bahata. Shondele Makata.
Hallelujah.
Kushitir Masa. Bokintili. Kosomantaya. Ela Kasata Bahaya. Mondele manto kistibere kosho toshelana, mele basikine de, ile mosekabada, esidikini gori, istesi mokobaba, e tolosakataya, nele, kuma se beste, i Christus tomakoya, ele kumbete masotorota.
For your name.
Hallelujah. Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Praise God. Praise God.
Glory God. Hallelujah.
And great.
Greatly. Greatly. Such this day forth.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And it'll be such this day forth.
Absolutely.
Hallelujah.
Absolutely.
Praise, praise God, God. Praise God.
Glory to God.
Thank you, Danny.
Thank Hallelujah.
You, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Well, like I said, we're not waiting on revival. Revival's waiting on us.
Yes.
Amen. I need an usher to go take down that clock and get rid of it. I don't want to see it anymore. Not just today. I just don't want to see it anymore. Yeah. Get rid of it.
Amen. Amen. Can you imagine everything that we just saw, that we just witnessed, the move of the Spirit, the healings taking place, the anointing, all of these that were healed? This, can you imagine if we had been bound by that clock and said, oh, 11:30, we got to shut it down, and we all went home? Look at what we would have missed out on.
Yeah. No more. Not going to do that.
No more. No more. Amen.
Somebody get
Amen.
In some water.
Hallelujah. Yeah. Praise God.
Amen. You know, you can be seated real quick. Let's walk down here. I always feel so
tall.
Giant standing up there.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
You know, I'm always a little bit hesitant about talking about some of these things because, you know, people always, because of my personality, sometimes people can take things wrongly, think that I'm prideful and you know, whatever, but people are going to think what they want to think, so it doesn't matter. You know, Robin and I have the favor of God that is on us is just tremendous. I mean, it's tremendous. Everywhere we go, everything we do, everybody we meet, everybody we talk to, the favor of God, the hand of God is always involved with it.
Thank you, Lord.
And, you know, we just got back from Fort Worth and being there at the ministers' conference, which we have been to I don't know how many times. Literally, I don't know how many times we've been there. But this past week was truly ordained of God. And church history was made that week, all week. But that last night, it was something very, very special that happened that last night. And I'm tying this into this move of God and what the Holy Spirit is doing here, because it's bigger than here.
Yes.
It's bigger than, you know, what we experienced here today. There's so much more, so much more. And it's reaching beyond these walls.
Yeah.
And it's going to draw people into these walls. Because you're getting revived.
Yeah.
Amen. You're getting stirred up, and you're going to go do your part. Amen. And the last night we heard when we got there, you know, we hung out with Lynn and Julie. Everybody knows Lynn and Julie, right? Lynn and Julie Mize. And we hung out with Jerry Ann Savelle, who's going to be here in a month or two, whenever it is, and kind of come hang out with this minister for us. But anyway, stuck with them most of the time that we were there. And the favor of God and the things that the Lord did, but it's amazing. Right when we first got there, Robin was talking to Julie, or Julie was texting. She said, I just found out my dad's going to be here.
And Julie's dad, as you know, Lynn is, you met them, Lynn and Julie. Remember Brother Terry was here? So Lynn is Brother Terry's son, and
yeah.
Julie, his wife, is Richard Roberts' daughter.
I know Richard Roberts.
Or
is?
Robert's son, Richard Roberts.
And so she said, I just found out my daddy's going to be here, and he's speaking one of the nights, and she didn't quite know what was going on because she hadn't talked to her daddy yet. But anyway, how the Lord orchestrated everything. Brother Copeland had Brother Richard, or Dr. Roberts, whatever you want to call him, he was in all the services, but that last night, Brother Copeland brought him up and had him minister. And Brother Copeland ministered alongside with him. And he gave his whole story, going, you know, starting back with his dad and how his dad was born and all of this, and then the anointing that was on him and the hundreds of thousands of people that, you know, were healed under his ministry. And his latter years, he couldn't even lift his arms up hardly because he had laid hands on, who knows, millions of people.
Yeah.
And his shoulders were worn out. So he literally could not lift his hands up just because, you know, he'd been used them so much. And so on his deathbed, as he was passing, you know, Brother Richard was talking about being there. He was there with his dad, holding his dad's hand as he was passing on. And he was there holding his hand. He says, all at once, he said, right there, coming through the ceiling, were two giant angels. He said one of them was just at ceiling level, and the other angel was bigger. He said you couldn't see his head, you couldn't see his face, because he stuck up through the ceiling. And he said they reached down and they grabbed his dad by the hand, more or less, and just
grabbed his spirit
out of his body and took him up into heaven. And that's how he passed. And he's told him right before all of that, and hopefully we'll have the video. I'll show you
yes,
the video, let you watch it.
To you.
And told him about, you know, all the miracles and everything that the Lord had done through him and years past, and the revivals and the great healing revival that he witnessed. And, you know, we're talking about hundreds of thousands of people, right? Amazing. And so he said, a double portion of my anointing will be upon you. He said, many people are going to claim that they've got it. Many people are going to claim that anointing is on you. He said, but it's not on them. But he said, but it's on you. It's on you. And he said, proof about it will be in the next crusade that you're supposed to have somewhere in Africa. He said, you're going to have double the miracles, double the people in attendance. And it was true, just exactly as his dad said. There was 200,000 people that came to one service, one meeting. Now, that's pretty trippy, isn't it? We think we'd freak out when, you know, we got 200 or 300. But we're talking about 200,000. And so the miracles and things began to unfold. But during the course of all this, how many of you realize that ministers are targets? People, devils working through people and saying things
over
through
time.
People. Yes, absolutely. And the stresses and the pressures can pull on you, even no matter what your last name is, no matter who you are.
That's right.
In the ministry. So consequently, you know, he's made a few mistakes through the years and tried to, you know, to cover up some of this pressure with other things, and which was not good. And of course, you know, the media gets wind of some of these things, and, you know, his ministry just plummeted, you know. Finances plummeted and everything else plummeted. TV program plummeted. Everything, you know, just plummeted. But Brother Copeland's just so gracious and so wonderful how he takes somebody in and will restore them to a place in the body where, not kicking him, not down and out. No, you're anointed of the Lord.
Yeah.
No, you made some mistakes. No, you're not perfect, but hey, let's get back up and get back in the game. We're going to do this. We're going to do it together.
Yes.
And so it was quite a historical event that night. And he ministered, like I said, and went through the whole deal. And then started giving different words of knowledge for healing. And then Brother Copeland got up and was giving different words of knowledge. I mean, so many miraculous things. You know, one boy had broken his foot just a few days prior. It'll be all in the video. But he broke his foot and ankle just a few days prior. I mean, broken, right? And gets healed, and he's jumping up and down at the front just a few days prior, and just miraculously healed. Another girl, and your Brother Copeland's given some words of knowledge concerning eyes, and had her head down, and she wore glasses, and she lifted her head back up, and she couldn't see anything, so she had to take her glasses off, and then realized, hey, I can see now with my glasses off, because she had this severe astigmatism in her eyes, and the Lord healed her of it, just like that. And there were waves of the healing anointing that would just flood through that place. Waves of it. And Robin and I were so blessed. You know, we're sitting right on the front row. We got the Savelles right next to us. Got Kate McVeigh on the other side. And right next to the Savelles, we had Richard Roberts. Right next to Richard Roberts, we had the Copelands. Like, wow, we never asked for any of this. But it's amazing. It's amazing. It goes back to a word of the Lord, which we talk about. Every now and then, the Lord told me years ago, before anything happened, before we ever knew anybody, He said, I'm going to sit you among the princes of your own people. That's what he said. I'm going to sit you among the princes of your own people. So whenever I'm in a situation like that, that word always comes back to me, and he says, see, I told you. That's amazing. But anyway, sitting there, Dr. Roberts said this, you know, all of this was going on. He said, it's just like being in an Oral Roberts meeting. That same anointing, that same power, that same flow of the healing anointing, and we're coming back into it. That's where we're at. We're coming back into it. Amen? So it's not necessarily a man. You got to be careful with that. It's the anointing that's on the man, right? Amen? We honor the man. We honor the vessel. We never, you know, don't ever not honor, right? But remember, it's Jesus working through the man. Amen? And so here we are today, 2016. And here we are. The outbreak of the power of God is here. Amen. Healing is here.
Amen. Yes.
So you guys need to do everything you can. Remember the instruction that the Lord gave us today through the Word. The three keys, right? Experiencing daily revival, celebrating daily revival, do that. Apply this word. And let's shake up this island.
Yes. Amen.
Allow the Lord to shake it up through us, of course, but let's shake up this island. Amen? Amen.
Yes.
Let's get some people saved. Let's get some people healed. Let's get them into the kingdom.
Amen.
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 It's time to stop playing.
Amen.